I don't even know what to say anymore, guys. Hiroyuki Sanada just continues to deliver time and time and time again. The man's obviously goated. It's safe to say at this point, I'm sure I can speak for all of us, the man's pretty much a god. What is up, everybody, and welcome to a very wonderful episode 12 of 20,000 Films Under the Sea. I'm one of your directors tonight, Arnell Pearson, alongside my producer. It is Twitch.tv's very own DJ Swigs. Oscar says hydrate. Thank you, Oscar. We appreciate you. DJ, my boy, how are you this fine week, my good sir?
Dude, doing good, man. Got a haircut today. Got some things prepared for tomorrow. Doing volunteer work at this event to fundraise for Parkinson's disease.
Okay.
So I'm going to be like the lead photographer and you know, just capturing all the stuff going on at the event and stuff and helping around. So that's going to be fun. And also, dude, I got 2 weeks left, man. 2 weeks. And I'm
2 weeks, dude. School. 2 weeks, man. Yeah. Are you, I know that you're kind of like coming to a point where you're probably feeling, you know, that breath of fresh air and how that's going for you. Are you feeling like the weight off your shoulders at all? Is that like, has that hit you yet or?
Not yet, dude. I still got stuff to do.
Okay.
So like, it's not letting off yet. I probably won't feel like that until like after graduation, to be honest. Like,
for sure. That's fair.
Or at least after I finish like my last final. So, which sucks because it's my last final is on a Saturday.
Oh, God, dude. Oh, Jesus, yeah, man.
I got to head to campus on a Saturday. And you know, what's fucked up is my first two finals are on Monday of finals week. So then I have to wait like 4 or 5 more days until I take my final one. So I'm literally just waiting.
That sounds fucking awful.
Yeah, terrible.
Do you have I don't know if you've really like dived into this at all, but do you have any like work lined up for afterwards or?
Not really. I'm kind of just, I have a plan in my head, like a rough skeleton of what I'm wanting to do.
Okay. Sure.
I don't have anything for like immediate income per se, if that's what you're asking.
No. I mean, I ask because for the past couple of years that we've been doing this, almost a couple of years with you specifically, we've grown very used to DJ having school. You know what I mean? Like DJ's our college boy, right? Like he's out here living his frat boy life. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, disgusting.
Not really,
dude,
but
don't tie me to the fraternity, dude. Fuck that.
We know DJ's out here getting his party on every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Sure. We're just used to that. So like now it's gonna be having to transition to being used to saying DJ has work. You know what I mean? Like how was work today?
I mean, it probably won't be like that for a while. Like I don't see myself like being like absolutely like enamored into work. Like, I, of course, there's things I do, but I think I can fit it around doing this. So I do have a thing. My barber has been like asking me for a long time if I want to like model for him.
Okay. All right.
So I could do that as well. I have to bring it up with him, but he's been wanting to do it for a while, and I always turn it down because, or just didn't pursue it because, you know, I had so much other shit going on, like, and I can't have so many things at once. I feel like getting that would be biting off more than I could chew, realistically. So, yeah.
So you're gonna be our next Zoolander then, is what you're saying. You're gonna be our
I'm gonna be fucking.
Give us your Magnum. Give us your Magnum right now. You know what I'm saying? give us Latigra. You know what I'm saying? That's what I need from DJ right now.
Nah, dude. I'm gonna start mewing and shit, dude.
Yeah. Fucking. That's it, man.
My jawline. Yeah. I plan on getting back into the gym. Like, I think.
Oh,
like,
yeah, baby.
It will help me with like. doing things, because like not doing things but like the urge to do things, or like not, because like I with my anxiety, dude, like I can't do nothing for too long. Like I am capable of doing nothing, but like it doesn't feel good to do nothing.
Left like, to your own devices, you will gross yourself out, right? Yeah, okay,
sure. Yeah, I'll be like I feel bad for doing nothing. Like I wanted, it's not that I want to do something, it's like I feel like I have to. But I really do want to get back in the gym. Like I honestly was getting like a good rhythm in, before the semester started. And then like, I've just been tapered off cause I've been just like so busy.
Yeah.
So, but, and plus I want to lose some weight or like just get leaner.
That beach body going, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, dude. Cause you know, I'm going out of the country in
Oh, September. That's right. You're doing that. I forgot about that. Yeah. It's important for me to know that.
I want to lose as much weight as I can, and then like fill my belly up for like the month I will be out of country.
Hell yeah.
Come back.
Hell fucking yeah, baby. Where are you going again?
Going to Vietnam, dude. Going back to the homeland.
Hell yeah, baby. Hell fucking yeah. I'm excited for that.
And then we're spending a week in, I think, South Korea.
So. South Korea is fun. Good food. Yeah. Good food, man. Good restaurants.
Apparently, yeah. Hopefully we eat some good food. I'm just afraid of food being sweet. I personally can't, because you know how like East Asian, especially like Japanese and Korean dishes they're pretty sweet, especially in their like in the homeland, like or in actual country. They tend to be on the sweeter side.
And you're not like, into sweet with your savory?
It's not that I'm not into sweet with my savory. It's just like, I feel like, so like in Vietnam, right? Like the region where my family hails from, they're already the sweet version of what Vietnamese cuisine is.
Okay.
And Korea and Japan are like two steps above that.
Right.
Like to me, I'm not a big, like, I love sweets, but I sometimes like, I feel like the ratio for sweet to savory over there is like 65-35. And
it can be a little egregious for sure. Yeah. I got you.
Like I can taste the sugar in this.
they do. Yeah. Hey, I mean, you got that cane sugar. You got to use it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude. Like I ate a hot dog one time in a Japanese airport and I'm like, why is this sweet?
Dude, okay, but like, you know, like Korean corn dogs go fucking crazy though. You know what I'm saying?
Why is the cheese sweet? Why is the cheese sweet? Okay. That's my problem. If I see cheese, I'm thinking, you know, savory tones. I'm not thinking sweet.
Nah, man, sweet cheese is fucking great, dude. Sweet cheese is awesome. Yeah, but so are you guys at home, because this is 20,000 Sweets Under the Sea, your choice for all the nerdy pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you want each and every week, unlike DJ, who does not want sweet things at all. If you like that, you can head on over to our Discord channel where you can submit questions and topics to the show, get exclusive content, and have early access to episodes before they go live on podcast and video services near you. If you've emptied your pockets for the latest and greatest entertainment, that is cool with us. You can watch us record this show live right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow, just like Esco Boo Boo is. Hi, Esco. How are you? Hope you're doing good. If you have Amazon Prime, you also have Twitch Prime. DJ?
Prime Gaming.
Garrick was discussing with me the other night that we need to get a nice, good, clear recording of you doing that so we can just hit it with a
button. So you have it as soundboard? We just hit it and slam
that bitch. I was like, you give it to me right now. Give me a nice, juicy one. DJ, tell him.
Prime Gaming.
I like it. That's gonna be a sound bit like fucking crazy, dude. It's gonna be crazy. I love it. And we love for you guys to give that to us to help keep the lights on and cameras rolling. But you can support us by going to our YouTube channel, hitting subscribe, or by leaving a review on our podcast channel by searching 20,000 Films Under the Sea. And we'll be right here waiting for you.
What are you?
Guys, DJ, my good sir.
What's up?
We have some director's commentary, my friend. Guys, I did not fill it out on the show notes, my apologies, but we have introduced a slightly different type of content for you guys out there over on our YouTube channel. That is youtube.com/goodkrakenshow. We have our very first official Splash Damage Special Edition, where you can go in there and you can watch 30 minutes of us just acting fools in content warning, just acting pure foolishness. You know what I'm saying? Just pure unadulterated fuckery is what you can expect in there. Yeah. It's a good time. It's going to be a 2-part series that we're doing on that. And we plan on doing special edition content for you guys with Splash Damage a little bit more often. We kind of talked about it loosely the other night. We were like, hey, what if we try something different really quick and see what that does for us? And Xander did a nice little 30-minute cut of our experience from last night's stream. So you guys can catch it on YouTube and let us know how you guys feel about that in our Discord channel. But also,
You should have called it Deluxe Edition, dude.
You know, I was kind of racking my brain for some different ideas, but I was like, special edition works for now. For now.
For now, yeah.
Like, maybe we can...
Special edition, it could be like, I don't know. It could be...
Right. You know what I mean?
Good Kraken's greatest hits, you know what I'm saying? Like, the fucking PlayStation greatest hits.
Game of the Year edition, you know what I'm saying? Like, something like that. Yeah. You know, like, stream of the Year edition. Something, Splash of the Year.
You know what? We could use the greatest hits one or like the game of the year one. We could do it as like a compilation of most of our gaming clips or whatever. Like at the end of the year.
I like it.
Or like going into the next year.
I like it. Xander, I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening, Doggy Dog. We're looking at you, buddy. We're looking at you, man. But with that said, guys, please head on over to our different various podcast channels. That is The Shipwreck Show. That is Death Ratio. That is 20,000 Films Under the Sea. Leave us a rate. Leave us a review. Talk all about how much you hate us or love us or something in between. That we can get our names a little bit further out there. We're trying to work hard to fight the algorithms and get our names out there and make it and expand the family, if you will. You know, so where you guys have probably been seeing us a little bit more active on social media channels here of recent. Absolute shit show that was, but we'll get that cleaned up on Sunday morning for our good old Good Kraken meeting that we have every week, and you don't have to worry about it too much, but it'll be a good time. We'll get there. But anyways, you guys go check that out. If you do leave a written review, we will be compelled to read those live on the individual podcast episodes. So just keep that in mind.
We'll read those as, like, opening up the show.
Yeah.
Actually reviewed us, blah, 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 blah. Ernell is stinky. Like, wow, that's pretty true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make it a part of our rigmarole, if you will, our intro stuff. You know what I'm saying? Make it happen. It'll be a good time. But anyways, DJ, my boy, tell the people at home what we're doing next, my friend.
Well, Ernell, I mean, honestly, I wonder if this show even had multiple cuts.
Mm.
But thank God we got the final cut.
The final cut. Guys, tonight for the final cut, our headlining segment and our only segment for this evening, we are giving you guys our official spoiler-free review of Shogun. I'm so fucking excited for this. Ladies, gentlemen, ladies and gents. Set in Japan in the year 1600, Lord Yoshitora Naga is fighting for his life. as his enemies on the Council of Regents unite against him when a mysterious European ship is found marooned in a nearby fishing village. Released the very first episode on February 27th, 2024, created by the husband and wife team, Rachel Kondo and Justin Marks, with a variety of different directors doing different episodes, joined by Jonathan Van Tulliken, Charlotte Brandstrom, Frederick E. O. Toy, Hiromi Kamara, and Emmanuel Ose Kufor, with music from one Atticus Ross, that is one of two members of Nine Inch Nails, Leopold Ross, and Nick Chuba. We have a budget, come to find out, of $250 million, DJ.
It's crazy.
That is the biggest budget Hulu / Disney, as Hulu, have put into anything at all. Like, that is a crazy amount of money, dude. Box office, obviously, this went straight to Hulu, so we do not have a box office. But runtime for the episodes varied between 53 minutes to 70 minutes. DJ, my boy, we have some fun facts. Our friend, get ready. There's some interesting information here. Based on the 1975 novel Shogun, written by James Clavell, which was first adapted into a miniseries called Shogun in 1980, starring Richard Chamberlain. Clavell was a British naval officer during the Second World War and was a prisoner of war of the Japanese Empire. His other books depicting Japanese and Chinese culture are Taipan, King Rat, the partially autobiographical Gaijin, and Noble House. His other book, Whirlwind, is set in Iran, following a company called Struan, is how it's apparently pronounced, founded in Hong Kong in the 1800s with ties to Gaijin, which is Japanese for foreigner, and Noble House. The latter two books were adapted into television miniseries called Noble House in 1988, starring Pierce Brosnan. Whew, a lot of history with this fucking IP, man. Yeah, I didn't even actually know that this was a sort of kind of remake, if you will, of a miniseries. Yeah, I had no clue, which is awesome. That's fucking rad. They really did it justice, I'll tell you what. principal photography for the series was scheduled to commence in March 2019 in Japan and the UK, but was delayed because Fox executives felt that the production wasn't in good enough shape, that they wanted to aim higher. Hiroyuki Sanada did a single day of filming in 2019 in order for FX to retain the rights to the property as the series was being retooled. In January 2020, it was revealed that after original writer Ronan Bennett was no longer available to keep working on scripts, they started over from scratch with a new writer and executive producer Justin Marks, working alongside his wife, supervising producer Rachel Kondo. Principal photography finally began on September 22nd in 2021 in Vancouver, the UK, and Japan.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Big, big fucking, I mean, it sounds like FX was not with it at first. You know what I'm saying? They weren't fucking with it at first.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like it's... must have been a weird thing. Did Ronan Bennett just like fuck off? He just was like,
no. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I don't know the history of like why.
I mean, this was peak COVID time, so maybe he was like, all right, bro, like I'm not.
This sucks, dude. Like this fucking sucks, boys. Yeah. Let's be real here. But some stuff that does also suck is DJ, my friend, colonialism, colonizing these motherfuckers out here. The Treaty of what was that?
You want me to take this one, or are you taking it
all? Oh, dude, go for it if you want to. Yeah,
let's do it. Dude, fucking the Treaty of Tordesillas was an agreement between Spain and Portugal that was signed in 1494 in a namesake town in Spain. In this treaty, Spain and Portugal agreed to divide the New World between themselves for colonization, conversion, and administration by setting a line of demarcation that had ran from north to south at a meridian about 370 leagues, 1 league is equal to 3 miles, west of the Cape Verde Islands. Spain would be granted everything to the west of this line, while Portugal would receive everything to the east. This corresponded roughly to most of eastern modern Brazil and Africa being conceded to Portugal, while Spain would take the rest of the New World. It will later be revised by the Treaty of Zaragoza in 1529, which included Asia, since neither party had considered the world's spherical shape at the time of drawing the line of demarcation. And they quickly realized they would need a second line to divide the war into two hemispheres. The Portuguese hemisphere included Japan, as well as the rest of Asia to the west, leaving Spain with most of the Pacific Ocean, but none of mainland Asia, with the exception of Spain given the right to trade in the Philippines, though the treaty was largely ignored by other European powers, particularly when the Protestant Reformation took root. Spain and Portugal followed it fairly faithfully, though it did require some amendments as more of the world was charted. A little history lesson for the show.
Yeah, and that is because a big part of that history is directly connected to why the shit in this show is happening. And I'm sure, you know, DJ could also attest that the historical aspects of this show are part of like what makes it the most interesting, because of how the show ends and everything that sort of like revolves around it, which we will get into actually now. DJ, my friend, we finally have
finally have
the time to talk about it, my friend. We've been aching to finally get a chance to chat about this. We've been watching this show. We finally finished it. The new episode came out this week. My boy, DJ, what were your thoughts on 2024's Shogun?
Dude, where to start, man? This show is intense, to say the least, man. At first, I had no idea. I had no idea what I was getting into watching the show. I saw like maybe one trailer, like maybe half a trailer, but and some news that came out about like after the first episode aired, because people were really really hype, and like there was the media tour backing it. This show was not what I expected at all. I thought it was just like I hate to say it, The Last Samurai-esque.
Sure. Okay. Right? Yeah, for sure.
Because that movie is just like whatever, but
I'm into it. I'm okay with it. It's not amazing. Yeah, you know, it's all right.
It's not amazing, but like, you know, it's white savior Japan.
Of course, there, right. Of course, yeah.
But this film starts pretty. It sets the tone. It sets the atmosphere immediately. Like, you know what you're getting into by the time you finish the first episode, because I believe this show gets dark. It gets gritty. But also it throws you for a loop plot wise, because it feels like there's not really a main character, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
Like each episode takes turns telling the stories of, all the main characters that we'll see. I haven't watched Game of Thrones, but I've heard from you guys and from people who watch it, it's very similar to Game of Thrones, where it's like this, like, it's politics.
Yes, but like very much so. Yeah.
Very interesting way. Mm-hmm. Like, there's double crossing. There's people playing two sides. There's, you know, there's secret meetings and plotting and strategizing. And
that's the Game of Thrones bread and butter, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, and that is what makes the show so amazing, is that constant feeling you get of what the fuck is about to happen. You know, what the fuck is happening next? Why is that person doing that? What are they gonna do? Who are they talking to? You know what I mean? Like, it's it makes you ask those questions, and not in the sense of confusion, but just intrigue, pure intrigue and pure interest, because this show locks you into that. It really sells you on this this story, this plot line, right, of the Lord Yoshi Torunaga and how he's going to combat the Council of Regents that have denounced him as one of the councilmen, and how they're gonna take their castle, the castle in Osaka, and stuff like that. Everyone in this does a fantastic job acting wise. I was watching this and I was like, this is a better The Last Samurai. Like, I know I mentioned it.
Way better, Last Samurai.
Way better. This is way better. This is what The Last Samurai thought it was. Right? Because, you know, like, because it starts off in the point of the Englishman who maroons on the shore, John Blackthorne. And you'll see kind of his progression throughout. He's kind of the main focus character, right?
Yeah.
In this show. So we follow a lot of the story from his perspective. He's not like, he doesn't take up like all of the plot, but it's kind of like, he's like the straight line from point A to point B in the storyline, while every other character is wrapping around it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're all following it at the same time. So, and his story is interesting. His character development is really, really cool. He's and also I don't know the actor's name, but he does an incredible job
For Blackthorne.
Yeah,
that's Cosmo Jarvis. Hell of a name!
What a crazy name!
Hell of a name, Cosmo. Hell of a Jarvis, name dog.
For a hell like, of an actor, Cosmo Jarvis, my
goddamn,
man.
Goddamn! He's in Peaky Blinders. Good actor in there too.
Yeah, he has that. He has that like Englishman voice, and he's got that. He's got that down. He has a nice voice for that. But seeing his story progress and how he connects in this overarching like webbed plot line, if that makes sense. Like it's like everyone's connected for some reason or another. So like every character you see is important. Almost all of them are important to this story. At least the ones that speak. And you're like, oh, like who is it gonna be next? You know? I really enjoyed this show. I'm surprised it cost so much to make. I mean, I'm surprised, but also not at the same time. Cause like this is a quality show. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I had to stop myself from binging the whole show because I would have just binged. I wouldn't have slept, right? Because I was taking most of this week, like just the few hours I had every night just to catch the show, just watch like a few episodes at a time. And it killed me not knowing what was going to happen next because I had to go to bed. But man, this show is entertaining. And it doesn't. You won't, I feel like most people who watch this show won't like be able to predict what will happen in this story.
Yeah, you know? That's fair.
They like you could try, it may be a lucky guess will like pin you right, but for most of watchers, I think you'll be thrown for a loop. Cause for me, I did not know half of the things that were gonna happen. You know, because like I try to be like, oh, well, maybe this character is, you know, he's shady, but then he's not. This character might show up again, or, you know, it really subverts your expectations a lot.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, man. It's dude. Wow. Wow, this fucking show, wow. Man. I had so many times watching this that I was just like flabbergasted. Like gasted was my flabber this entire show, DJ. The character acting is just impeccable. Some of these like long sort of held out wide pan shots just to let you soak in what this feudal Japan looks like is just stunning. I can't like, dude, $250 million going into this show was so well spent in every avenue between like the marketing and like the actual production of the show itself. And also paying these actors a rate in which they deserve. Yes, sir.
Just to speak on just like, you know, those wide shots, but I also wanted to say, you know, I don't know what that fucking effect is. I know we talked about it with I think fucking Rebel Moon or whatever the fuck.
Okay.
It's like that blurred, like, it's not fisheye, but it's like that blurred like depth of field shit.
Oh, you zoom in like with the camera, but you back up at the same time.
Like this chromatic aberration shit, like it's blurred background. I think this show does a really good job of it, like really good.
Yeah, because they use it as a sort of a way that's pretty similar to how we saw in God, what was it of recent that we watched? Was it? There was something we watched recently. They use it to. Maybe it was Fallout. They use it to make you feel Monkey Man. That's what it was.
Monkey Man.
They use it to make you feel anxious and like feel sort of like tight and uncomfortable and really sort of like make you feel the stakes without just telling you what the stakes are. Because obviously this show is just a slew of stakes. This is like pretty much what this show is. It's like you either like
the stakes are high.
We have this over looming thing of like, don't disappoint Torinaga, right? Like, don't disappoint him, because you will get fucked up in the process of upsetting this man. But the thing is too is that like I think the part about this show that hits as well as it does is not just the Game of Thrones sort of style of bureaucrats sort of fighting bureaucrats and the political side of things. I think that the part that makes this show hit so well is the cultural emphasis of how they display everything. And there's been interviews with Hiro Sanada and him talking about how he wanted to do this show to make sure that it would be, one, authentically Japanese, and two, so he can put young Japanese actors on the map. I would go as far to say he was successful in both. This show's cultural emphasis is magnificent. Like as someone who did kendo for a really long time in my youth, there's a lot of stuff that people don't know about samurais and how they did things. I highly suggest if anybody wants to dive into that, pick up a book called The Book of Five Rings. That'll kind of sort of speak on how samurai or bushi is the word for warriors, what they called themselves. That's how they, it sort of gives an explanation to how their lifestyle was. And it will kind of give you a background into why they're so loyal to what is going on in the show and why they're so loyal to Torinaga. And kind of like a general, like cultural emphasis of like, filial piety, because I think that's something that Western folks don't really understand a whole lot, is filial piety. Yeah. And we understand it coming from Southeast Asian and Pacific, you know, cultures, is that there's a big emphasis on just doing what your masters, quote unquote, want of you because of loyalty. No matter how much it inconveniences you, no matter how much you fucking hate it, you're doing it because you have respect for them. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that. So going into the show, I could see a lot of people from the West being like, why the fuck are they doing this? Like, why the fuck are they okay with? Like, he's obviously like throwing them into the fucking pits of hell here, right? Like, and anyone who wouldn't know any better would feel that way. Saint, what's happening, Saint baby, how you doing? I think that the cultural impact of this show is just out of this world, and we need more of it. We need more Japanese culture being authentic. We need more East Asian culture being authentic in our media in as many ways as possible, and these actors like Hiroyuki Sanada going the extra mile to make it happen is always good. Always good. And I'm sure, like I said in the intro video, I can speak for all of us when I say Hiroyuki Sanada is a fucking king. He's a goddamn lord among us who deserves all the good things in life. I think I want to ask you, DJ, Who was your favorite character in this show? If you had a katana to your throat and they said fucking pick, who's your favorite? Who are you going for?
Dude, this is tough. I think I genuinely enjoy all the characters in the show. Because I say it again, all the actors acted their asses off.
Yeah. Dude.
Acted their asses off, bro. Mm-hmm. Fucking ate that shit up. There are characters that intrigued me more than others. Like I would just say fucking Sonata's character, Yoshi Torunaga. Cause like it's like they do a really good like tactic when it comes to writing this show. And it's like instead of like just or not really detected, but I'm saying like the world of the story revolves around Yoshi Torunaga.
Yeah.
But like the main characters that are focused, the perspective is from the Englishman who washes onto Japan. And it's like we're seeing like all how everyone connects this one guy and like how their stories progress as this guy is making this as Yoshi Torunaga's character is just fucking trying to play mind games of masterminding this mm-hmm. shit
mm-hmm. as the master of trickery, as they call him throughout the show, like, many times.
Well, they mention it multiple times, like he's conniving, he's a pretty good strategist. He is in a line of warlords. Warlord blood runs through his veins. When Japan was in an era of war, he's a legend.
Yeah.
Even the former, I think it's the Taiko.
Taiko,
The Taiko's like fucking favorite guy, dude. Fucking right hand, fucking guy. So yeah, dude, it's super interesting. I love John Blackthorne's character. He's a fucking dickhead when you first meet him.
Yeah, I mean,
not just a dickhead, but he's also a dumbass. Like he's a dickhead and a dumbass at the same time. But just seeing his character progress, and especially that little flash, I'm gonna just try to keep it as spoiler-free as I can. Flash in the last episode.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's in the bed, you know, in that room, which I want to talk to you about later, by the way, after.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm talking about? You're like, whoa, like, is this really it? Like, that, like, you know, are we really doing that right now? It's like that. It's like that. Like he's a really interesting character. And like he starts to learn the culture and speak Japanese. So he could, like, since he's there, I mean, might as well. The way he treats other characters as well. Compared to the other Portuguese/English speaking characters that appear within the show. I thought, Rodriguez would have more to do in the show.
Me too. He kind of came and went, pretty quick. Lockwood got to want him to.
I mean, he serves his purpose in the plot.
Yes, he does.
And serves of moving the plot along. Same thing with the captain of the black ship. I thought we'd get more from him because, you know, I thought maybe Rodriguez was like the appetizer and maybe it'll lead up to the captain. Sure. You know what I mean? And it kind of does in a way, but it's not like fully fleshed out. Nor the father character.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the head guy with the neck thing. Yeah. That piece of shit. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. That guy. That piece of shit. So I wish you could see more, but, you know, that's not the point of the plot. Mariko I think is my favorite character.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
And a close like with John Blackthorne being close second, but my third would be Yuji right? Yuji?
Yuji? Which one? The
No. Is that her name? It's the
Fumi.
The other woman.
Fumi.
Fumi. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, Fumi.
Oh wait, no. It was
Fuji?
Not Kiku. Fuji. No,
Kiku's the courtesan.
That is, yeah. It is Fuji.
It is Fuji. Okay, yeah, I was about to say. Yeah, Fuji, also, because she's fucking, she's, because there's like a fucking, like, an F plot with her character.
Fucking wildly, right? Jesus Christ, yeah. Man. Jesus
an
Christ.
An F plot with her character that begin, or maybe it's like a, a BA plot.
It's dude, they have so many parallel fucking plot lines happening in this set. So, and they all work, like don't get us wrong. They all work like, yeah. Jesus.
But it's like it, you know, I need like a whole diagram, you know, to really
yeah,
like,
right. You know what What's I mean? Going on but, with all but the characters?
Fuji,
yeah.
Fujisama is like she her character is very like very dainty and like she just went through a great loss and like she deals with it throughout the show, but there's a scene where she grabs one of John Blackthorne's guns and fucking cocks it fucking towards the guy that I was like, oh, she's a badass.
It goes fucking crazy. Well, the reason I ask about the favorite character thing is because it's actually funny that you strung down that line a little bit, because to me, like, yeah, like Torunaga is obviously the like main person of this, and
he's advertised as the most interesting guy in the show.
In the way that's how he's advertised. That Dumbledore is the main character of Harry Potter. You know what I mean? Like he's not, but he's this sort of like ever looming presence that's always there and exists, and is like sort of like this watchful eye over everything. And anybody would be able to say that Torunaga is probably like one of their favorite characters of this. But the thing that I appreciate the most about the show is that the quote unquote side characters, which they're not, they are also main characters in this, are all just as good as Torunaga in this. Like they're so well acted and so well written
and fleshed out. Like they all have motivations that are clearly being presented.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And, like, and
that's what makes the show great.
It just went to like show that like the writing in this is just so top tier, honestly. Like, I mean, like, cause I would probably say that Yabushiga is my Yabushige, I guess you could say, is my favorite character in this, because he was so interesting all the way down to like our like final moments of this show. Generally speaking, he was my favorite from front to back, because like the second that were introduced to his character, it just like, what is up with you? And like the entire show, you're like, what the fuck is up with you?
What the fuck is like, I don't
understand what exactly is going on with you. But like because his motives are so like diluted and like blurred, you don't know. And you just kind of realize, oh, this dude is just like kind of there. Like
he's just like trying to find the best possible way out, dude. He's like, he doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
His fucking head, and he's just trying to fucking make it work, dude. And like the final scene of this show is probably one of my favorite scenes in television to date. Because this interaction we have with these two characters in the final scene is just insane.
Like the second to last scene, like, you know,
the last full scene.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we get these two characters that are having this moment that is just one of many in this show, mind you, because this show is just fucking chock full of those moments, right? we have this moment that is just so special because we understand the relationship that these two have, and regardless of the details and the history that we've seen unfold, you know, throughout the course of the show, there's still like this weird level of respect that they have for each other. And you wouldn't have thought it would have been him. You know what I mean? To have this intimate moment with this other character. And so, like, it was just one example of so many different moments in this show that are just
I was
so
unexpected, top-tier. Dude. Unexpected.
It was. I was not prepared for it to.
I was about to go down, dude. I thought it was about to go down, and I was like, "Oh shit!"
And it ended up actually being a very, very beautiful fucking moment. And like so many scenes in this show are just a collection of beautiful, beautiful fucking moments. I mean, like we can even go into talking about like Mariko spitting bars all fucking season long.
The whole fucking show, dude.
Season. Just bar after bar after bar this bitch is spitting, dude. It is crazy. Dude,
and it calls back at the end as well. The callback at the end.
It's so good, dude. Like, the payoff there. Oh, my God, man. Like, I can't believe how well constructed they made all this shit. Because I'm sure you agree with me here that one of the best parts of any TV show is when they make you give a fuck about the characters. Right, like we care so deeply about these characters that we've realistically have only known for fucking 2 hours, and suddenly I care about this piece of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, why do I fucking care? I think coming off of the back of this being a remake of a much older TV show that is a rendition of a book, and the history behind that. I don't think they could have done this, I guess you could say IP, I don't think they could have done this any more justice in this show, because everything about it is fucking perfect. It's perfect, I'd even go to fucking say, DJ, because I like this shit goes fucking crazy, man. Like, I can't believe how invested I was with these characters. I can't believe how invested I was with the story arc of all these characters and their relationships together, what was going on with all of them. Like, it was just so
Fuji. It's Fuji, by the way.
It is Fuji. Okay, cool. Thank you for that. Yeah. That confirmation. Yeah. There's just God damn, dude. God damn, man. And you wouldn't expect the way that they go with a few of these things. Like Torinaga's son. Didn't see that coming. Holy shit, didn't see that coming. There's like so many fucking things in this show that make this just an absolute piece of fucking art, man. I can't even begin to explain. Like, people need to watch this fucking show, dude. They need to watch this fucking show. And as Shane mentioned in chat too, it's interesting as well. Kind of looking back at the finale for this. This is a limited series, as we noted in the stream information. It is a limited series. There is only one season of this. There's not going to be any more, because this show in its single season covers the entirety of the book of the same name. And that's what it talks about. If you want to know what happens after, go look up the history of feudal Japan. And that'll tell you everything you need to know about Torinaga, who actually is not Torinaga in actual history. His real name here was Tokugawa Ieyasu. Ieyasu. Was the actual guy. John Blackthorne's real name was Will Adams. And actually I can kind of go through this. Mariko was actually Akechi Tama. Hirokatsu, which was Buntaro, was Hosokawa Tadaoki, and I don't know, Ishido was actually Ishida Mitsunari. Was his actual name in history. So if you guys need to know about the overall history of 16th century feudal Japan, and what happened with Ieyasu, you can find that stuff in the history books, because it's worth looking into, because this shit is really, really cool when you kind of like find out the history of like feudal Japan and like Nobunaga and like how like all these like guys that were fucking each other up left and right. Mm-hmm. It's super interesting shit, man. Japan was kind of a fucked up place for a hot moment there. I'm sure
there's
we all
a ton of history. Oh, dude. Speaking of character, to go back to the characters, dude. The fisherman.
Oh, like,
Dude.
The fucking reveal, final episode man. Thing, dude. That was so sick, man. That was so sick. I never would have thought. Never would have fucking thought, dude.
I can't, if I say too much, dude. It's
so I know, man. That's the tough part of this. Is that like
the worst part of this? Is not being able to tell you guys what happened.
I know.
What happened? I know, in the man. Show because just... we want you, go watch the show. If you're not hooked by episode two,
yeah,
don't watch.
I'd say the end of episode two is when it really gets you. Because if it doesn't
hit you, I'm sorry, man. Like it's.
I watched episode one twice because I watched it on my own once and I finished it. And I was like, oh, man, Marilyn's going to love this. Like, I should watch the Marilyn. So I'll stop here. So I rewatched the first episode with her and I was hooked all over again, like by the end of the first episode even. But I can see why it would take the end of the second episode for people to really be invested, because there's a lot of setup. In the first episode, it's a bit of
there's
a
quiet definitely
episode.
A setup, and it's kind of hard to go through. Like I said, it's like Last Samurai esque. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like people might get thrown off by the first episode. Like, oh no, this guy, white guy comes to Japan. He's gonna save all of Japan again.
Right.
But episode two is when they're like, oh fuck, like it's not
it
about
that.
This white guy.
It ain't that at all.
Yeah, dude. This.
I know, man. Shogun, I know, dog. Dude. It's fucking crazy, Shogun, man. Dog. Well, we also have Xander, who was going to be here tonight. He had some family stuff come up, but Xander did a write-in for us. He says, Shogun on Hulu is absolutely awesome. The story is so well-crafted, and they really nailed the details of Japanese culture. It's super engaging, and you'll find yourself hooked, eagerly waiting for each new episode. With all this binge-watching these days, Shogun brings back the fun of the old weekly format, making you really savor each part of the story. The cast is just fantastic. Hiroyuki Sanada, Cosmo Jarvis, and Anna Sawai are amazing in their roles, bringing so much depth and emotion to the characters. Sanada is just so compelling and commanding and clever throughout this series, despite many, seemingly so, shortcomings and defeats. Jarvis is so intense as Blackthorn and really gives it his all to make you believe he's the fish out of water. And Sawai is unmatched in her graceful yet strong persona. And let's not forget the rest of the cast and crew. Everyone involved did an incredible job, from the supporting actors to the people behind the scenes who made the show so visually stunning and overall a genuinely captivating story. And we will get into Xander's rating here in a second. But first, my friend, I want to go into a quote from Mariko.
Yeah.
While the snow remains, veiled in the haze of cold evening, a leafless branch. Holy fuck. Oh, fuck, dude. Yeah. Bars, bro.
Were those haikus? Were they just spitting haikus?
They were. I was
trying to count the syllables, and sometimes I was just, I might have gotten the, there's a haiku, and then there's another one that's like a little bit more. I forgot what it is.
And it's the one that's more common, actually. Like I mentioned in the Book of Five Rings, they talk about how Bushi, samurai, they were sort of compelled in their culture of being a jack of all trades, being a master of everything you touch. And that included calligraphy, writing, as well as poetry. And so all samurai were constantly trying to sharpen their poetry skills. But that went deeper after samurai were becoming more prevalent, to it then becoming something more present amongst Japanese culture as a whole. So yeah, the them sort of having these like poetry offs, you know what I'm saying, like these battle poet slams, like
the longer one is called a tanka with the
and I mean, like, that it's funny how something so simple and seemingly so unimportant in this show becomes so massively important so quick.
Yeah.
I mean, like how fast we saw the flowers are only flowers when they fall, or because they fall, having that be so impactful in the end of how things happened at the end of the show was incredible, because you never would have thought that those words, that this poem bullshit that's happening throughout the course of the show would have that much impact. And I love it. DJ, I want us to write a poem. Let's write a poem together. You know what I'm saying? Let's do it. Do you want me to spit the first line, or you know, or do you want to take? You got some locked and loaded. Okay.
Fuck. You hit the first line.
Okay. All right. Stone, so cold.
That's three syllables.
Oh, my bad.
It's supposed to be 575, man.
575. Yeah. okay. All right.
All right. I got you with the first line.
Oh, you got the first. Okay.
I'll bounce off of what you said.
All right. Cool. All right.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay.
Okay. All right. Uh-huh. All right.
You got seven here.
let's see. Oh, I'm so close. Give me a beer, please. Hell yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. There we go.
And then we'll finish it off with okay. How about you? What?
What? What?
How about you? What? So the full poem is Stone Cold Steve Austin. What was it? What was your line again?
Hand me a beer, please. Hell yeah.
Hand me a beer, please. How about you? What? There you go. That's
money,
our
dude. Money. That's how that's gonna be said on the very last episode of Any Good Kraken podcast. It's gonna be great. Yep. It's gonna be great. DJ, should people watch us right away? And what is your rating?
Dude, watch us right away. Dude, fucking get the Hulu subscription for it if you don't have it. Like, I think it's that good. I think this is worth getting a Hulu subscription and, like, I don't know, canceling it for the month.
Yeah.
So just to watch and binge it all. Now that all the episodes are out, the whole season's out, you can watch it right now. And I'm going to give this a teen and a teen.
My friend. Yeah, man. Watch this shit. Watch this now. Yeah. Absolutely watch this show right now. This
the
show
podcast
is
right now and go watch.
Holy fuck, man. Yeah, you don't even need our fucking ratings, dude. Just go fucking watch a show. Oh, yeah, wow. If you have T-Mobile, you guys can get Hulu and Disney for free with your plan. So just go and do that way. If you don't, pay the fucking money, man. This show's worth every fucking dollar that you're gonna pay
if
for
you have
one month.
If you're a student, using Spotify, if you're on the student premium, it also comes with Hulu. So
there you go. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Fucking whatever you got to do, watch the show. Watch this fucking show. Holy shit. Because this is going to do something for you. You might feel a little bummed to know that there's not going to be more. But this 10 episode series is worth experiencing every moment of, every emotion of, every scene, every kind of battle. Just fucking watch this show. DJ, Xander gives a show a 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I give this show a 10 out of 10, my friend. Unanimous!
Unanimous!
Yes, John, that's right. Shogun.
Dude. We haven't had that in
we haven't.
So long.
Oh, we haven't, man. We haven't, dude. And I'm happy it's this show to finally give it to us. A 10 out of 10.
I can't wait for Garrick to watch this shit, dude.
Oh, my God. He said he's on episode 3 now. He watched 2 episodes of recent. And I'm just...
Dude, I wish I could tell him, dude, you have no idea what you're getting yourself.
He has no fucking clue, man. Like, he's
episode
just...
3, dude? I thought I had the story figured out. No, sir. No,
sure fucking
sir.
Didn't, man. Man, DJ, I am so glad we got a chance to finally talk about this. And anyways, with that said, we're going to get into our outro, my friend. This has been 20,000 films under the sea. Your choice for all the nerdy pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you wanted each and every week. If you liked what you heard, get head on over to our Discord channel where you can submit questions and topics to the show, get exclusive content, and have early access episodes before they go live on podcasts and video services near you. But if you've emptied your pockets for the latest and greatest in entertainment, that's cool with us. You can watch us record this show live right here at twitch.tv/goodcrackin'show. You can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, hitting subscribe, or by leaving a review on our podcast channel by searching 20,000 Films Under the Sea. We'll be right here waiting for you.
Here waiting for you.
We have to get going, everybody. But until next time, my friends, a flower is a flower because it
crimson
falls.
Sky.
Crimson, yeah. Leave me for the dogs.
Techie. Techie.
Techie. Techie.
Techie. Techie. Techie. Techie.